You know, I always say first the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. And this podcast has it all. This is The Good Glow with Emma Kyo. This season, I've teamed up with ReaperMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics. Having been through the process of IVF myself, I understand how daunting and difficult a fertility journey can be. With clinics in Dundrum, Dublin and Rahoon in Galway, their world-class team offer the empathy and compassionate care needed to help and support you. Dr. Hans and his team have high levels of success due to their expertise and experience, with 120 years combined fertility experience and passion to help their patients grow their family. You can visit ReaperMed.ie, which is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Welcome to this Eat, Pray, Love episode of the Good Glow podcast. I'm sure lots of you know who Emma Kyo is. She's a new friend of mine. I've loved connecting with her over the last while, and her story has just blown me away. So, before Emma became a life coach and an empowerment coach and built her own brand, she was a buyer for Primark. She led a very busy life. She was with her boyfriend for 10 years. They were trying for a baby. Like she says, everything in her life was grand. But then her world fell apart when her relationship broke down and everything Emma thought she had planned for in her life was taken away. And what was she left with? Well, she was left with herself and her kitchen floor, which was her rock bottom moment where she laid and cried and cried. But when Emma stood up, everything began to change. And this is a story for us all, because this is not about whether you're in a relationship, not in a relationship, divorced, married. This is about the most important relationship of all, which is the relationship with ourselves. And I guarantee you, after listening to this podcast, you will love yourself a little bit more. So before we get into Emma, I've been so excited to let you know that the September reset is coming back this September. It's a brand new reset. I've been riding it all summer with new ideas, thoughts and concepts. So this is your invitation to join us from Monday, the 4th of September for a 14-day challenge with me as your coach. All you need is 10 minutes a day. So if this sounds familiar, I don't feel like myself. I'm in a fog. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know where I'm going. There's never enough time. I'm exhausted. I've put together this 14-day course with hacks, tips, and a plan so you can take action for the last 4 months of the year. I want to help you become happier in your life and clear your path so you can focus on what you need to bring in and finally start aligning your actions with your vision. So if you're looking for intention and clarity, you want to step into your power, you want to have the confidence to start showing up as your authentic self, this is the challenge for you. 14 days, 10 minutes a day. You can listen at any time of the day that you like. This is just 1% of your day just for you. The feedback from last year's reset was 5 stars. One person said, "One of the best decisions I ever made in my life was to do this September reset." Another person said, "The 2 weeks forced me to make time for myself and make myself a priority." And someone else said, "I did it in the car every morning before work. It really made me think and focus on my goals." So it's live now on our website. Click the link through the episode show notes. The early bird rate is now available for a limited time only, $29.95 for 14 days of coaching with me. After a busy summer where we've given all of our energy away, it's finally time to start reinvesting in ourselves. And I'm going to show you how. Let's get into this amazing conversation with Emma. And I'm really excited for your feedback on this one. Emma, welcome to The Good Glow. I am so beyond excited to talk to you. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for all the support that you give me in The Good Glow. And I hope you know how much I appreciate it.
Well, I'm like a hardcore fangirl anyways from the start. And I think The Good Glow has definitely helped me in so many ways. Like, I love, you know, shouting for other women, because they always say as well, a queen doesn't take a crown off other people, it fixes someone else's crown. So I'm like, I'd always look to other women for support, and you're one of those gals.
Oh my God, well, you definitely have the glow. And I finally got to meet you in person at an event, Suzanne's event a couple of weeks ago, and we really just hit it off. And I think we could have spoken for hours, but I didn't really know much about your story and your background and how much of a journey you've been on, which is so inspiring for us all. And I'm so excited for my listeners to hear all about it, because I think, I suppose a lot of the time I would ask people on my podcast, was there a before and after in your life? Has that moment come for you yet?
Yeah, like full circle. I like to reflect, I like to compare myself to like the caterpillar came to the butterfly, because I was that caterpillar and I was suffering. I didn't know. And then COVID was my cocoon and I've done the reflection and everything. And now I'm the butterfly. But that caterpillar before was constantly living on fight or flight, just constantly go, 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 you know, seize the day, get as much as I can done, focusing on the physical all the time, hiding my emotions. I would never tell you if I had a bad day. I would never tell you if I was struggling with something. I would just hold it in a stress and let that motivate me more. Just go, gotta keep going, gotta keep going. But I was frantic, like I was so frantic. And then when COVID hit, I went, like, you know, I found out my ex-partner was cheating on me. We had a house, we were planning a family. I've always been a planner. And I used to be a buyer for pennies. So that's why I'm so used to planning. But I always have to be like, okay, that's the next step. We're going to do this. We're going to go there. That's that. Everything, I was control. I was a control freak. Everything was controlled. And then my ex, I couldn't control that. And I don't, like, you know, I've spoke about this story a few times. And I know sometimes I'm like, I don't like to go on about it. But I do think your listeners are still going to resonate. There's going to be that one person that's like, oh my God, because I think it's important. You know, I'm happy now and I'm finding my own happiness. But I had to go through, excuse my French, those shit times. And I just started to feel that little bit of like, oh my God, like things can get better. And then towards the end of COVID, then like I started to like really be vulnerable and tell my story. That's when I launched my pod as well. And I started to speak. And from that then over, I'd say only Georgie the last year, it's like my whole ethos, people just gravitate even more to me because I am me now. I know who I am. I live by my values. I am my authentic self. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not running away from her. And a big thing I say is from all that pain, and we still have our triggers, from all that pain does come our purpose.
Yeah. So let's go. And I feel like that is such a summary of like the last couple of years in your life. We can see the beginning, middle and end there. But let's go back to... And listen, right? Things happen in relationships. Yeah, there's no judgment. There's ups and downs. Sometimes someone does bad by you, but it brings you to the most amazing place. And in 10 years, you're like, thank you so much for, you know, for that experience, because now I am here. But let's talk about your before life, because when you describe it, and we spoke yesterday, you were numbing yourself with busyness, and we all numb ourselves with different things, whether it's alcohol, whether it's busyness, whether it's fitness, like whatever it is that you can get into. So your life was really full. You were go, 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 but you didn't stop to listen to your own thoughts, your own gut, you know, yourself. But tell me about the time when everything started to change in your relationship.
Yeah. So like I got up, I very much just looked after myself. I was just, I wasn't really looking after the other person as well. Like I've like at that time, I was just so focused on me. And in a relationship, that's not right either. I was very content with what I had around me. I was like, I had a really good job. I was ticking all the boxes. I was getting as much as I could done in a day. But I knew there was something, there was like that little hole going that I was running away from. That emotional hole.
It's like I said this at my show in the concert hall last year. It's like that moment when you're like, there's just, everything is great, but there's just this unease, or it's like something is not right and you can't put your finger on it.
I call that my inner compass. So it's like the dial is just, or like a scales, you know, we're like, there's something not evening out here. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I have been a bit self-aware, but I didn't know. I just thought, oh, it's just something inside me. I was so used to, for over 30 years of my life, I was like, what, 30, 4 at the time. And I thought it was just my beam. I was like, that's just me. And I knew there was something off, but I just cracked on. At the time, I was with my ex. And then obviously I found out she was cheating on me. And that's when like I, like that was it for me. Like I was like, see you later. Whatever it is. And all my friends say to me, everybody knew, they were like, you are the strongest person I know. There's something in me. I know my worth.
And you had bought a house with this person. You were trying for a baby. How did you find out about the cheating?
I found out through Instagram. So he couldn't tell me himself. I found out through messages on Instagram. And that's what killed me even more, because I never got the answers that I needed from him. And, you know, even when I asked him, it was like, it was just lies.
So someone texted you on Instagram and said your other half is cheating on you. And did you write back to that person?
No, I didn't write back. I just rang him straight away, because I was on business in Sri Lanka and I was about to get the last flight home to Ireland. That's when COVID hit. So I was getting that last flight home before the airport closed, and everyone was like, Emma, get home, get home. I remember being on that plane and like severe vomiting, everything else. And I literally just couldn't. I was literally just shaking. I just couldn't cope. Like, I was like, what is going on? And I saw the message, but there was other messages like trickling through over a few months. I was like, that's just a hater coming in. And then I saw a pattern and little things come in and a message on his phone and little things. I was like, okay, but I was in denial in my head. And I was trying for a baby at the same time. And not many people know that. And I don't say that very open, but I'm at a place now where I'm comfortable to share these stories with people, because I'm at a different place now in my life. And I know there's going to be so many people that resonate with this. Like, I was ticking all the boxes. I had the house, I had the partner, planning the baby, marriage. But still inside, there was a hole inside me still. I thought that was going to fill it. And then my ex at the time was committing like cheating, like adultery on me. Like, so I never thought anyone would ever do that to me, ever. And when I found that out, I literally, my whole life just crumbled. Like, it just flashed, because I had everything planned. I had everything set up. I had the job. I had this, I had that. And everything was taken away from me.
So not only were you flying home to face the end of your life as you knew it, you were also flying home to face complete and utter nothing. Couldn't travel, couldn't go hang out with your friends, couldn't do anything. Who is the person, or could you ring anyone from the airport or as you made that trip home to tell them what had happened? Or are you the type of person that suffers in silence?
I suffered in silence at the time. So he actually collected me from the airport. And I didn't know what to do. Like, and I got home and I was like, just explain, because I'm the type of person, I won't scream and shout at you. I'll talk to you the way I'm talking to you now. And I'll say, talk to me now and just what's going on. So then we're one to one, and wouldn't tell me anything. And then anyways, after that, then I kicked him out. But at the time, my sister was moving in with me. And thank God, because like my sisters are my rocks. Like, they got me through the hardest, deepest times. And I got up every day. Now, I might have had a day or two where I had to lay on, but every day during COVID, they lived with me and we were in our own little bubble. Every day they'd be like, come on, we get up for a walk. And how I got through it, because I remember, like, I just used to sit in bed and watch Gossip Girl, because that was the only thing. I'd be like, I'll just stick on Gossip Girl and have a cup of tea. And it was just like, I had this saying in my head, just for today, I'm going to have a shower. Just for today, I'm going to make some food. It was like I was living on every hour. I was like, what the hell is going on right now?
And it's like PJ Gallagher said that on my podcast, just one more day. Yeah. And that's how he got through the worst time in his life. Just one more day. Yeah. So that really resonates. And I think for a lot of people who are in a tough time, can I ask you a question about that? Yeah. And so when you were obviously devastated and grieving the life that you once had and everything you had planned for, were you most upset about losing this person, or were you most upset about, you know, everything you had invested in, like you had your life mapped out, planned out? Like, where was the pain? Which side was it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I know what that is. And it wasn't him. It was the life. And it's so funny, because I knew that was kind of you know, it was feeding its course. It's like a lot of people, we, no offense, and I'm going to say this out, we do settle. We think, oh, this is it. This is just the way it is. I have a house now. We're going to have baby. It's going to be grand. But deep down, I wasn't like really feeling that relationship. Deep down, my body wasn't. You know, I was trying for a baby, but nothing was happening. I was getting fertility tests. The clinic were like, you're in a really good position. You have healthy eggs, everything. And I was like, what's going on? My body was in stress. There was something not right. My body was keeping score going. No, no, no. And at the time, my grandmother was only after passing by. She was like my mother. And she looked over me and was like, no, 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 no. Because being honest, I wouldn't want to have a child with him like now. Like imagine like I was in that position now. And my family would be like, Emma, imagine you were in that position now. And I was like, I know, I'm so grateful. And I know I don't mean that in a bad way to anyone out there, but it's like, I'm lucky because I would have had an attachment to that person. And then from that, it's like the life, because I put something like, you know, we bought a house, we done it all up. It was beautiful. Sold it. I only sold it last year. It took me 2 years to sell it with COVID, with lots of paperwork. And that was so painful. So if anyone knows what it's like trying to sell a house with your ex and they don't answer the phone, they don't do anything, you're doing it all and you're still paying a mortgage as well at the same time, on top of trying to work, put a happy face on, your own mental health, life.
It's Tell like me the, about, did you get to go back to the house like the night before you sold it, or did you have a kind of goodbye?
Oh, I was living in it. I was living in the house. So I was living in the house for 2 years and like I loved it and all, but I just knew, even my mom was like, would you not keep it and would you not rent it? I was like, I'm done here. I'm done. I want that. That's gone, like clean slate. And I remember when I sold the house, I was like, oh. Because it was the last memory and attachment of shit. Do you know that way? Even though I loved it, it's only materialistic things. Do you know? I remember people saying, would you not buy again? I'm like, why would I want to buy a house again? I don't want to do that right now. Like I've done that. I've done it up. I've paid mortgages, went through all that. I need a break. So I rented for about a year with my sister again, great time. And only recently now, like I moved in with my, I have a partner now, like I have a boyfriend now, I'm happy now. And I don't put him up on social media, I keep my relationship private. So it's been hard healing and loving someone else at the same time.
Oh, tell me about that.
So it's like, don't get me wrong, it was a great distraction at the start. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, vibes, fun, you know, love, and he's gorgeous. But then as it slowly comes along, you're like, There's a trigger. And it's my own stuff coming up. And I think it's him, but it's actually like that Taylor Swift song. It's like, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. It's like, oh my God. It's like even little things. If he went out with the lads, I'm like, where are you? What are you doing? You know, what time do you be home at? And I was a secure attachment style. If anybody has read that book, I was very secure. Where now I'm like, will you ring me? Will you just let me know where you are? And I know now that's from that. I'm reconditioned now because of what I've been through, my past. And I was never that person. But now I have, that's where my self-awareness comes. I'm noticing patterns and triggers of what is coming up from my past relationship.
Wow. And I think it's really interesting when you say healing and loving someone at the same time. Yeah. That's so beautiful. And
yeah, it's a journey, gal.
Nothing is straightforward in life. Let's think about this for a second. Yeah. Nothing is straightforward, and it's okay to love someone and heal at the same time.
Exactly. This is the thing where people think, now I know there is other people who you need time by yourself. And I planned that, Georgie. I was like, that's it. I'm planning time by myself. You know, a minimum 2 years. I'm ready to do an Eat, Pray, Love moment and go off like Julia Roberts to India, find myself, go to the Maserati, you know, all this. But like I found him, say, within the year of, you know, all this with my ex, but I just felt gravitated towards him. And it can't help how you feel. When you feel that energy towards someone, I'm like, there's something there, even though you're like, oh God. But I just felt it. I just went with it. And now I'm still with him, like, you know, and now I live with him.
The main thing is that you were able to do the Eat, Pray, Love and be in love at the same time.
Yeah, heal myself and do that. But I honestly think sometimes, you know, don't get me wrong, I want to kill him. But I even say to my friend, she made a lovely statement the other day. I was ranting and she was like, Emma, but he helped you heal. And I said, he did.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I will give him ownership of that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll give him that. was there a rock bottom before you Rose? Like, can you remember a morning, an evening, a time, bathroom floor? Like, yeah. What was it?
The floor in the kitchen, I think, is one time I can always remember. And I remember when I was in that moment, I was like, I'm going to remember that moment. Everyone was out. And I felt a lot of people were looking at me because they were like, she hasn't cried. You know, what's going on here? And I'd be like, oh, I'm having a good day. Like, everything's grand. And they'd be like, no, 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 Emma. Like, what's going on? Like, you're with someone for 10 years and like, this is not cool. Like, I wasn't breaking down. I just wasn't. And then when everyone was out one day, I just was like, I just started crying. No joke, about 15 minutes. And I just couldn't stop. I was on the tiles, lying on the tiles. And it just kept coming and coming and coming. But I knew that was me. And then another time, actually, while you're saying that, I get spurts of like kind of emotions because I store them, or I can have delayed trauma and then it comes out in a way. But I'm learning to release it all now. I'm learning to let go. And if I feel like a cry, just have a whinge. I love a whinge. Where I remember I was in the apartment, I think it was last year. And I remember just being in the shower and I just started crying for about 15 minutes just under the water. And I didn't know why I was crying. But I do think they're the parts of your journey that you're like, you don't know what's going on, but you're doing it. But that wasn't the rock bottom. That was like, what's going on? And I still feel like sometimes, what's going on? You know, because I think life isn't linear. It's a constant roller coaster, where I thought it was being like, everything's planned, everything's ticked. That's what I'm doing. Where now I'm up, I'm down, and in and out. And then you just have to learn to like embrace it. But with the rock bottoms, it's like, I remember just being there and I just go, I remember saying to my mom, actually, while you're saying this, I was crying a lot. And I just, you could say boo to me. And I was just starting to snap at my sisters. And I was just like constantly crying. And I remember my mom saying to me, going, Emmett, I know you're feeling very down. She was like, but if this continues for the next maybe 2 weeks, you're going to have to go to the doctor. Like, you know, she thought I would have had to go on depressants because I felt that way. I was Googling what depression felt like. I felt all the boxes, ticked all them. I felt like, you know, you're in a hole. And the only thing that got me through was journaling. I journal my thoughts since the start of COVID when all this hit, and I've been journaling for 3 years straight now. I just started to dissect me. And then when I kind of figured me out, I could kind of talk about it. Because I just didn't know how to talk about it to people. I just didn't, my words to paper were just like my little breathings of my thoughts. They were like those whispers on the page, as you'd say. And I just was like, am I depressed? Do I need help? But I always think as well, and someone said this, is that if the mind gets you in that place, the mind will get you out of that place. So I just started to just have a little patience with myself. And instead of being so plan, 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 tick the box, what's going on? I was like, just breathe, just breathe, just write it down and just for today. And I just tried to go with that mantra, just for today, just write it down. And it started to just go a little bit more and go a little bit more. And I started to just start feeling it, and that with my course, and just embracing who I was. And I just, like with COVID as well, Georgie, I thought, okay, even though I'm literally an absolute hot mess and a wreck right now, I'm going to get up every morning, go to the gym or go for a walk, do yoga, lose like 10 pounds. I thought this in my own head. I started to bury what I was going through. Where only now I realized that I needed that time to just be, not do. Just be, because we're all constantly, as Jerry Hussey would say, we're constantly human doings. We're not human beings.
Oh, so, I love that.
So I just was like, I just needed to be, just sit at the back garden, read a book, have an Aperol spritz. Do you know, I just was like, and then I was like being a bit more patient with myself. And now I only notice now this year, I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel it. For about 2 years, I'm like, I'm doing all these things and I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm going to the gym and I'm journaling and I'm reading. Why can't I feel that person? I was just so intense with myself because I'm so used to controlling myself and everything around me. Where now I feel it.
I hope you're enjoying my podcast with Emma, and just wait until you hear all about her rising. It is 5 stars. First, I just wanted to thank ReaperMed for supporting the Good Glow again this season. A fertility journey is so personal, and ReaperMed pride themselves in taking compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive, and honest environment. ReaperMed has invested significantly in the past 3 years in their state-of-the-art laboratory to give their patients the best chance of success, and are trusted and recommended by maternity hospitals and GPs throughout Ireland. Visit reapermed.ie for more.
It's funny because on one of our guidance cards, one of the messages is have patience with time and the healing will follow. That's which it. I love.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're on the kitchen floor. That was the rock bottom.
Yeah.
Get up, breathing, being in the moment, which I absolutely love. And I think that you should turn your journals from the last, you know, 3 or 4 years into a book.
Yes, that's, I think that might be coming maybe soon.
Okay.
You know, I definitely over the next year, that's my plan, because from the reckoning comes the rumble and then the rise.
So did you listen to my podcast with Dominique Nugent at the time?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
At the time, no, because being honest, that was triggering for me, because she was going through the exact same thing. I listened to it after that. I knew I could listen to it.
Yeah.
Because right then I just couldn't. Yeah, it was too painful. And being honest, Georgie, it took me 2 years to get out of that, to speak out of that. And I only started speaking about this last year when I released my own podcast. And I felt, and I still felt that like sick in my stomach, I'm going to get sick. But that was my healing. That was my letting go. And only the last year I can talk to you about this freely without wanting to like jump out the window.
Everyone is on their own journey, yeah, and can take their time. It's, yeah, like it took Jamie 8 years to say that he had MS, whereas it took me, you know, 8 days to say I had cancer. And that's perfectly okay.
And you know what it is? I think a big thing for me, which I have reflected and resonated with as well, it's owning my truth. It's owning what has happened to me. Doesn't mean who I am today, but it shaped me into who I am today. So I was so private about everything that I was like, I can't tell everyone. I took too much pride in myself. I was like, no one can know about that now. No.
And that's why I asked you about the coming home, and did you tell anyone? Because you feel ashamed.
Yeah, because I had everything figured out. But then when it all happened, my mom was like, knew there was something weird about that. 2 years never fought, which I thought was weird.
Why did they wait till afterwards to tell us that they had?
Thanks for the heads up about that. Yeah, thanks, Mel.
Okay, so one of the things that I loved most about our chat at the event a couple of weeks ago, yeah, and it stuck out to me and I was thinking about it loads the next day, is when you said that, you know, despite finding love again and loving and healing and, yeah, everything that we're talking about, you still went on this solo holiday.
Oh, yeah.
So in Soul Sisters, my other podcast, I feel like Claire is single. She lives this eat, pray, love lifestyle. Yeah. She goes off to India. She, mm-hmm, does all these amazing things. And I'm like, I can't do that because, yeah, you know, I have to stay at home. I have, yeah, to do this. That's not true, right? I could do anything I want at any time with full support of Jamie and my family, but we don't do it because we think, oh no, this is the life that I have. I'm a mother. I have to stay here. I have to, yeah, do this. So tell me about your trip to, yeah, Bali. And when was this?
Like 6 weeks ago to 8 weeks ago. So a lot of people think, I always say in a relationship, okay, I have two relationships, the one I have with myself and my relationship with my partner. And I have my life with me and we have our life together. We are not just one together. I am me on my own. So I have to curate my own happiness. He's like an add-on.
This is so good. I love this.
Okay. And some people are like, what? So I'm the curator of my own happiness and I know this, and I feel over the last while I'm starting to curate that. So I always felt I used to travel by myself when I was working. So it's no bother to me. I'm lucky. I have that confidence. So I went to Cannes about 2 years ago for a few days, and everyone was like, are you there on your own? Like, what the hell? So many girls from that trip booked their first solo trips. Like, I mean, about 50 girls. I was like, oh my God. So then this year, after selling my house, my course, I was like, I feel I need to get away again, because I never truly got away for like a week on my own to just breathe from everything, reflect, time, me, be my own best friend. What do I want to do today? Like, not on anybody's agenda, that I used to do on everybody's agenda. So I was like, I'll go to Palma, I'll go to wherever. So then I was like, I'm going 2 weeks to Bali. I said it to my partner. I was like, listen, I says, I'm going to go away for two weeks. Now, normally you think your fella would be like, what? He was like, yeah, you do you. You do you. You do what you need to do, Emma. No bother at all. He knows my journey. Because he's been through something very similar. And he knows I'm into this realm of work. And he's like, yeah, no worries, Emma. No, that'll do you. Because he knows I need to find that within me. So I went away. Now, a girl at the time, my friend, she's a PT. She was over there, but I wasn't going over to her. If I met up with her during that way, but I had kind of a brief plan what I was going to do. Now, normally I would know day by day where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I'm wearing, where I'm staying, what I'm eating. Where I literally just booked my flight and the first 3 nights. And I was like, YOLO. I just kind of knew what places I was going to. And people were like, do you not have a whole itinerary? I was like, no. So the first night I got there, checked in, whatever. And then I remember walking down. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go to the beach. Like, I literally got up. I was like, I'll find my bearings, walked down the road, had a coffee, met this Australian girl from Perth, literally hit it off with her like a soul sister. Went for a walk along the beach, and then I met her for breakfast, literally had live chats for an hour and a half. Even though that little voice inside is like, don't say anything.
Yeah, but just blend in.
But why blend in when you can stand out? Mm-hmm. So I done that, and then I started traveling around. And I remember this feeling. It was so weird. That Saturday night I arrived, I ended up going to Finn's, had a few drinks. And I remember being on, you have to get these Uber, like,
you speak
motorbikes.
About Finn's like as if we know what it is.
Sorry, beach club. It's a big beach club, right? But it's like okay. A huge beach club. And I'd be real like, oh my God, loads of people there. But I actually was like, I like to control situations because sometimes I suffer with anxiety. But I just said, it's okay. You're safe. You're with your friends. You're in the water. And I let myself have a good time. And then I says, right, I have to get a motorbike home. Which you do because the traffic's crazy. But I remember being on the back of that motorbike and tears came down my face and the feeling of content, freedom, wind in my hair, being on my own. I nearly feel teary now that I just was like, this is, and like, I feel emotional now. I was like, this is what bliss feels like. This is what content with yourself feels like. Because I haven't felt it for my whole life.
Wow, this is amazing.
I'm feeling that on the bike. I'm feeling that inner peace. The minute I got to Bali, I was like, this is what being at peace and loving yourself is.
Loving yourself.
Yeah, because for years, I thought I loved myself, but I wasn't loving myself. I was just keeping busy with on the external. And I don't know where those tears came from. And from that, it was just like that feeling of absolute bliss. And then every time that whole journey I was there, that whole time I was in Bali, I had people message me like, you look so happy. You look so contentful. You look so peaceful. They could just see it. And I love the way, even though social media and, you know, like your phone, energy doesn't lie, even from a virtual perspective. People could feel my energy even from social media. They were like, you are glowing, girl. Like, and that time with myself, and even I remember I wasn't afraid of anything, like, even though it's so safe over there as traveling for females as well, so safe. Like, I've never felt so safe. And I remember one day I got to an island. I didn't plan it. Becca Gill told me, go to this island. I had no plans whatsoever. And I was like, I got there on it took me hours. It was on a boat. I had to get off the boat, walk through the water with a suitcase. I only had to pick up to my hotel. There was no taxis on the island. 5,000 people live on this island. It's called Nusa Lumbongan. So I got there. I was like, right, how the hell do I get around this island? There's no taxis. Like, you know, there's literally about 10 people staying in my hotel. I started to feel anxious and I goes, it's okay. We're going to make a plan. We're going to do a bit of research. TikTok is great. Ask around. It's okay. We've got this. You know? made a little plan within the hour, and the hotels normally come and pick you up. They give you a lift. So I booked a dinner. I literally was like, I'm taking myself. This place was like bougie. It was stunning. All like fairy lights, real romantic. I was like, do you know what? I'm taking myself on a date tonight. Got dressed up, ordered a glass of red, watched the sunset, had a risotto. I was like, I don't half love myself. So I was sitting there. And I got chatting to the waiter. I was like, oh, can I get the bill? Would I be able to get a lift back? And the waiter was lovely. He was from Ubud. And I was like, oh, are you only here? He's like, I'm only here a week. I was like, me too. I was like, I don't know how to get around because I can't drive a moped and you need a moped to drive around the whole island. He goes, I'm only here a week. He was like, do you want to come with me tomorrow and I'll bring you around? I was like, his name was Junie. I was like, okay. I was like, do you want to bring me around? I'll pay. He goes, no, I just want to learn English. I was like, okay, meet me. I gave my number. We met him at my hotel. He was married and had two kids. It's not seedy or anything like that. So he came over. My fella and my friends were like, are you all right? Like, I was like, what's the problem here? Like, went around for the whole morning and it was probably one of the highlights of my morning. We chatted. I told him about Irish history, about the famine. And they're the moments that literally are just so heartwarming. It's not about the clubbing, all these things. It's those moments. I call them pockets of peace.
Oh, I like that.
They're those pockets of peace that you're like, just like, did anyone watch Harry Potter? You know when he has the pensieve and he takes the memory out and he puts it into his bowl? It's that. It's like that memory is instilled now. And just those beautiful moments are getting up in the morning, like, and being accountable for me and just saying, doing outdoor aerial yoga and like sound baths. I was literally just like living my best life.
Tell me about the Emma that arrived on the plane and the Emma who got onto the plane to go home.
Going over there, I was so ready. It was like that feeling, like a ball, like a stress ball inside me of like, I just need to get away. I just need to breathe, because I was so focused, obviously, selling my house, then moving in, then leaving my apartment, moving in with my partner. I just established my business this year, my website, go, go, go. Hadn't had a holiday since last year. I just was like ready to just like an onion, get rid of all that skin. I was like, oh, just like give it to me. And then when I got there, I just felt this sense. I obviously feel energy really strongly. But the minute I got to Bali, I just went, oh, like, yeah, it's like, this is the time. This is the time to relax. And I remember actually I went to this temple with a guy. He drives you around. He's amazing. So if anyone ever wants his number, just DM me on Insta. We went around and we done the temples, but you go into this temple, which is, you know, and you have to cleanse yourself, like go to each pillar 11 times. And if you have any bad thoughts, any negative thoughts or a bad day or anything happened to you or something, you go in and you cleanse yourself with the water. And I remember releasing all my negative thoughts each time I went to every pillar.
I saw this video on Instagram. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah. And people were like, oh my God, like shivers, even when I look back at the video, because that was the energy. I could feel tears nearly down my face because I was literally cleansing myself to the new version of me. Like I was letting go. I was washing it all away. And then I got out and I said to August, I was like, is it right to feel like kind of emotional? And he goes, yes, Emma. It is. It's a very holy place. Some people feel very emotional. They cry. If you want to cry, it's okay. And I was like, that's okay. Because I felt the same energy when I went to Mother Mary's house in Turkey. I just felt this energy over me to release it. But from that, it's like I was shedding something. That water was cleansing me to be like, you're washing it away. You're washing it away.
So tell us about then the Emma coming home on the flight and how that compared to the Emma coming home on the Sri Lanka flight.
Oh, jeez. Two different people. Two completely different people. It's like the Emma that I was then wanted to control everything, wanted her life planned out, thought she was happy, thought the physical was and the materialistic was happiness. Where now... me, it's the internal. It's my being. It's my core. It's my soul. People love me for that, not for who I look like. I love me for who I am. I know my worth. I know I'm the creator of my own peace and my own happiness. And that you can be your own best friend. You don't need anybody else to make you happy but yourself.
It's very emotional. And yesterday when we were talking about you're on this search for happiness, is that what we were saying? The search for happiness. And I was saying to you that even me as a married person with children, one on the way, I am also on my search for happiness. And the search for happiness never stops, even if you're married with children.
That's it, Georgie. Like, and I think when I had all those things, I was happy at the time, but there was something inside me that was void. But now I'm the other side of the spectrum. That void inside me has been filled, but I'm still trying to find other happiness. Because you think that all those things you're supposed to be, it's like happiness isn't a destination. It's a journey. You're always going to, you know, the toe might be in, the foot might be in, you might be all in the sea. But then some days you're like, I'm not feeling that happy today. And I've accepted that like you're not supposed to be always happy, always switched on. You're supposed to, because then you don't know what the shit days are. You don't know what the good days are. But when you're happy, you know you're happy. Like yesterday we met for the chats and a swim. And from that, I literally went back on a high to my boyfriend. I was like, I'm so happy today. I was like, I am so happy today. And I was like, this is happiness. Like, this is my pockets full of peace today. And I create that happiness.
I love that so much. Tell me, okay, leave me with the mantra or something to that you're connecting with at the moment.
At the moment, I kind of have two. So it's finding, a big thing is protecting my inner peace. So it's find your pockets of peace. Pop, think of pop. Find your pockets of peace every day. And what is that for you? Is that, you know, talking to someone, a walk in the park, just looking at the sunshine, going for a swim, getting a hug or a kiss off someone? Like, what is your little pocket full of peace that you're just like, oh, that's just, you know, bliss for you? And the second one is, we constantly think that, you know, along this journey of self-discovery, everything is love and light, but it's love and shite as well. So
and that's just life.
But it is. Mic drop.
Oh, what a mic drop from Emma. And I've linked her Instagram in the show notes if you want to send her a message. And I think for me the message is clear. No matter what path you're on, whether you're single or divorced, in a relationship, not in a relationship, we're all just putting our best foot forward every day. But the relationship with ourselves is one of the most incredible relationships we'll ever have, and it needs to be nurtured. We need to invest in ourselves and hug ourselves and love ourselves, and sometimes that can be the hardest thing and the hardest journey we'll ever go on, but it is so worth it in the end. So as I said in the intro, the September Reset is back on September 4th. If you do want to put the love back into yourself and you do want to take 1% of your day just for you for the first 2 weeks of September, join us for the September Reset. I'll leave a link in the show notes, and that early bird offer is available for a limited time only. Thank you so much to ReproMed for supporting me this season, and I can't wait to see you next week.